This message is brought to you by Croydon Tabernacle, a part of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. Our mission is reconciling the individual, community, and the nation to God. Be blessed as you listen.
Today, the message is on time God, but I'll call it the tests for the next level. The tests for the next level. The on time God, but the test for the next level. But I'll be reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Genesis 22, 1 to 14. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. Church, please listen carefully. He said, now it came to pass after these things, God tested Abraham, said to him, Abraham, and he said, yeah, I am. So then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offerings, and arose, went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, yeah, I am, my son. Then he said, look at the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he placed the wood on fire. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, yeah, I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on that lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mouth of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendant as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. So shall it be for us in the mighty name of Jesus. So, from the title, The On Time God, I'm drifting a little, I'm saying the test for the next level. In life, there is always levels. The level you were here last year is not the level you are here you are this year, there is ascending and descending levels in our life. You can be well today. Tomorrow you can be sick. You can be so rich today. Tomorrow you can be broke. I want you to know that every decision we take in our life has a consequence. And the choice, not chance, determine your destiny. Listen carefully. We want God to do extra things in our life. God to take us to the next level. God to bless us. The question is this. We lack the discipline to get there. The discipline to get there. Everything you are worried about right now, every stress, the sickness, whatever it is, I believe it is a test for the next level. Now let's go to the text of the day, Abraham. God tested Abraham, not the devil. Take notes. This time it is not the devil that tested Abraham. It is God himself. And if you go back to verse 12 of that book of Genesis, chapter 12 of that book of Genesis, you see when God told Abraham to leave his home, to go to a land that is promising him, a land that will flow with milk and honey, and all the good things. Going, Abraham, God promised Abraham his son also, that I will bless you with a son. But though Abraham and Sarah, they tried to help God by producing Ishmael. They tried to help God, but God did not relent. Because Isaac was the blessing. Isaac is the promised one. Then coming after 10 chapters later, where we just read, God is saying, that thing, that's your blessing. Come and go burn it in an altar. Amen. It says, that thing you cherish most, your blessing, your prayer points. Take this prayer point. Take this blessing. This thing, you see, when God has blessed you, your blessing is in your possession. You don't need to worry about anything. Then God will just speak from nowhere. Frank! Some of us will dart that voice. Yes, he promised me a son. He said he's going to give me a son at my old age. Then he's telling me that particular thing. Come and go sacrifice it in a mountain. Amen. And if you look at from that verse 12, Abraham started trusting God from the day he said, leave home. From that very day, he said, leave home. You see, when we are coming abroad, none of us consult God. We need to jackba. None of us, we just want a better life. This one, Abraham was just there in his father's house, and they said, you, come and go. It is trust. Abraham trusted God, and he moved. He moved. The funny thing about trusting God, sorry, ma, I'll be referring to you little by little, so don't get offended, ma, because that touched me just now. The thing about trusting God requires faith. It requires faith to trust God. Not mind. You see that person get mind? No. For you to trust God, it requires faith. There is a certain level you will get to. Your mind will fail you. A certain level, there is a level you will get to. Your mind will totally fail you. Then you need faith. Over the week, I read the status. I saw the person wrote a lot. I was like, whoa, I never knew this person is passing through this. Then my mind went back to what we had on Sunday. And this person was very, very, very active. I did the research the whole day. I was trying to know more. The person wrote, just lead you. Then I said, God, how do you do this? This person, with all this story, this person was our lead organizer. I said, how, God, you are too much. Then I sent the person a prayer. I said, that testimony will come. The healing will come. Whatever you so desire will come. Because you cannot work for God and go empty-handed. But it requires faith. Many people that work for God and did not get anything, they lost their faith. Amen? They lost their faith. Abraham was so comfortable with his blessing. And God said, it's time to move. Listen, when I was reading, when Abraham was going, say he took Isaac, he took his crew, that's two of his men. It is a route. If you read the Bible well, Abraham do sacrifice always in the mountain for God. So those guys he's taking, they know their route. They know what they do. We go there, they support, they help. They support Abraham, tie the goat, they cut the head, put teeth there. But this one today was different. This one, God said, Abraham, take your son, Isaac. It was only Abraham and Isaac. God said, go, not with his crew. But the first thing is obedience. Tick, Abraham passed it. Let's go. He took his crew along. They got to that point where he could see the mountain. The Bible says Abraham asked them to stay at the foot of the mountain. Because now the task wants to start. The journey wants to start. Abraham trusts those guys. Not that he don't trust those guys. But God told Abraham, your son and you. He didn't say crowd. He said, take Isaac. Look at the next level blessing. God will test your priorities. For the next level blessing, our sister said something here. He said, the husband said, I will come and stay. The friend said, I will stay. He said, everybody go. But I believe the Holy Spirit is with me. That is the only person. God is testing your priorities. What your faith. What you hold so strong. Imagine God said, take your son. It's a test. You said Ishmael is not my promised child. It's not the blessed child. It's not my blessing. Then the same blessing you are giving me, you said, go and sacrifice this blessing. Then Abraham moved. He moved. After God testing your priority, there is something God does again. Again, you have to learn, when God tests your priority, the second part is to learn to accept the people around you, the kind of people around you. As I said earlier, Abraham knew these people, his crew, the two guys he took along. But if you get to some point, those people, they can discourage him. Take your son. He didn't tell them, take your son. God said, I should go and sacrifice my son. He told them, we are going for sacrifice. And same these people, they did not see the ram. They did not see the goat or whatever they are going to use. But God was just trying to test Abraham. If you look at Jesus and his disciple, we have so many stories of Jesus we use as reference today. Peace be still. Look at the story of peace be still. When that storm came, Bible said Jesus was sleeping. The disciples, they got scared. They want to follow Jesus, Abby. They went to wake Jesus. Ah! Jesus rebuked them. After calming the storm, he rebuked them. Ye men of little. Then look again, Jesus again. When the man that has the son that has demon that was possessed, he carried the son to Jesus. Said, Jesus, I'll give your boys this. You know when you go to the mechanic, those of us in Nigeria, we don't go to the mechanic station. You say, I don't want your boys to touch it. Fix it yourself. The man came and said, I gave your boys, your disciples, this guy. But they could not cast the demon. He said, please help me. Jesus cast the demon out of the guy. Then the disciple came to him again. Sir, this one, how did you do it? He said, this one, the only thing that this kind thing can leave this person is by prayer and fasting. Tick again, they failed that test. Look at the same Jesus taking his disciples, say, at the Garden of Gethsemane. Yeah. They got there, he said, wait for me here for just an hour. Let me go and pray. You wait for me. The wait is pray here. Pray here. Why may I go further and pray? Sir, ma, before Jesus came back, those guys were sleeping. Jesus looked at them, he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Another tick, fail. Why am I bringing all this story? We failed in a life before, in so many tests. Our sister's one is a test. He has concluded that from our medical thing, 1 + 1 + 1 is this. The husband is not a doctor. He said, when you go, you will not see anything. And the day came, she did not see anything. It is faith. We fail, but God is still there. The thing is, don't lose your focus with God when you fail. Sometimes the sickness will shake you. The debt you are in will shake you. The problem in your marriage will shake you. Whatever you are passing through will shake you. But don't lose focus. It is a test. Of the next level you are going to pass it in the mighty name of Jesus. So, quickly, for all this to happen, for you to get to the next level, there are some sets of people that cannot go with you. There are sets of people to get the blessing of the next level. One, I remember when Auntie Fumi says we are doing coronation. The timing was very short. She asked one question before she created the WhatsApp group. She said, can we pull it through? And she created a very limited, just few people on that team. And if I tell you something, the few people she created was all on deck. This one, tick. This one, tick. Even the last minute, devil raised an ugly head. Basi Castle, we can't get. From 10 o'clock in the morning, 10 a.m., they say, no Basi Castle. When I got the message on my phone, I went downstairs, I said, Pastor, wahala. But when the mommy came, he said, we've sorted it. I said, God is always on time. Our children will enjoy it. So, there are some things God will put in your mind to do. The first people you have to be careful of is those people that lack comprehension. The first people you have to be careful of is those that lack comprehension. They don't understand anything. So for you to say, for you to argue, save your strength to climb that mountain. Amen? When Abraham said, wait for me here, Abraham was saving his strength to climb mountain, not to be answering questions from his friends. That guy, how are we going to get the ram? How are we going to get this? He said, wait. So you have to be very careful. They are your friends. They are loyal. But there are some things God will send you. There are those set of people, leave them at the feet of the mountain. Somebody hearing me? Okay, only two people hearing me. That two people, your case will be different. Amen. Then again, the number second people, you have to look for those that have the capacity, the strength. When she created the group, she picked the people of strength. The capacity. Yes, they have the capacity. They've been going with Abraham on his missions. But that day is different. When they are going, they go with a ram. This one, no ram. King coronation, just 2 weeks to. How are you going to put it in this country that you plan 1 year beforehand? You have to pick people with capacity. So those people that will draw you down, leave them. Amen. Then number three. You have to be critical. Some people are going to be real negative people. They will not say anything good. They will discourage you. So those set of people again. Amen. Then number four, crowd. Crowd. You don't go with crowd when God sends you a mission. Abraham discovered, if these two go with me, that place will be crowded. Stay there. I am going. Crowd. There are some things God will ask you to do. You don't need crowd. It is just you alone. If you say, go and bring your first son, it is just you and your first son. Some people will say, thank God, God does not speak again like that. Amen. But God still speaks. God still speaks. Something, there are things God puts in our hearts. You'll be convinced it's God, but you will fight it. And you find that you are not struggling till you go back to that thing. There are some people here, they give testimonies on Sundays. Sometimes I'm not always in, I'll be outside. When I get home, I must go back to the YouTube to be part of the service. I will see some testimony. I think last Sunday, somebody made a testimony. He said, when it's getting to the end of the month, he'll be thinking, am I going to pay this bill? He's thinking it. But he's forgetting his service. And he's forgetting the God he serves. I always tell my wife, I say, my God is a God of gap. God always fills the gap. That gap. You are struggling. How am I going to get this? God is doing it at your back. Our sister here was like, oh, I know my case already. God is telling you, daughter, you don't know nothing. He said, if I have done it yesterday, I can still do it today. He says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So whatever your case is, if God can do it yesterday, He will handle your case. He said, I am the God that changeth not. Then what is your problem? I remember when I was in Spain as a young pastor, 31st night, I can remember, December 31st night, crossover service. The last parish I planted was, I traveled 2 hours to the parish. So that first night, after praying, fasting, doing my studies, my area pastor came to my house. I was like, oh, Frank, I'd have loved you to stay with us. I'm like, pastor, if I go with you down to your church, if I stay with you in your church, who will not go to Tarragona? He said, tell your ministers, they will handle it. I said, pastor, you are selfish. And I said, pastor, just wait, let me go and take my bath. Church, listen, I went to the bathroom. I said, okay, let me use the loo. So I sat down. I could not stand up. Yeah. I was like, God. I started crying. When you see my cry, pastor, he was in the living room. I was in the like, pastor, is everything okay? I said, pastor, I don't know. This old man bust the door. He saw me sweating, crying. I said, pastor, it's like an iron is coming from my stomach, back me. He said, you don't need to go anywhere. I said, no, pastor, this is the devil. I managed. I carried my small luggage. If I was walking, it's like this. Inside there, I was praying, but I want to cross over with these people over there. I managed to get into the train. My 2 hours journey was 6 hours, or like 24 hours journey. I was crying inside the train. I was really crying. God, why? I was not trying to think what I've done that that God is punishing me for. I have one uncle that I have not forgiven. I said, God, today I don't forgive him. Not if you know the pain I was going through. I got to the city. My driver, the boy that comes to pick me, he was there. Because for the boy not to know that pastor is in pain, I started walking straight, but I was crying. They picked me, they took me to his house. I said, leave me in your son's room. I want to pray. Pray, key. I was crying. I was like, God, am I going to pass? I just felt I'm going to die that day. But one funny thing, I just decided, okay, before time, let me go and do evangelism. That word I just said, let me go and do evangelism, I stood up, I was okay. I like, carry the Bible, I went. They want to follow me? No, pastor alone, in case it happened. I know how to walk. We went there, evangelism done, covered. Bah. I came back. Time to go to church, the thing came again. I'm like, God, what is this? This time my area pastor is texting. Are you okay? I was just, yes, I'm okay, sir. Are you sure? You know, you like to do Iron Man. Time for service, the thing left me again. After service, it came. When I was returning back to my city, my area pastor was at the train station with an ambulance because I told him, I can't make it. He picked me to the hospital. They did all the check. The next thing I heard, the doctor said, is like somebody just disverging you from your back. I'm like, what? He's not gay. I'm like, he's not gay. He said, but look at his back. The man, doctor was just, doctors are here. He said, look at. That is spiritual. I said, okay, just give me what will calm me down. They load me with pain reliever injections. For 2 weeks, I was in pain. The third day, they said, that thing that my doctor saw on the 1st of January was no longer there, but now they have to take me to surgery. What are you tearing? They don't know, but they just need to open my back. I was like, God, after all these years, I serve you. I don't have anything. Young boy, I say, I'm not going to marry. I just want to follow God. Ah! First operation came. They told me properly. Pia, pia, pia. Nothing. They sealed me up. I got home. I started crying again. Pain. You know, for those that have mother, you call your mother. For those that have father, you will call your father. I don't have both. Holy God, I have. They now programmed me to go to Madrid, the biggest hospital in Spain. They just want to do a procedure, which I don't know about. That day, I remember my mother adopted his son. And I called him. He's like my senior brother. He's an adopted son. He's the pastor in Christ Embassy. I said, Pastor Monday. I said, yes. I said, I'm going to an operation. Join me in prayer. He said, my wife saw you yesterday in a casket. I'm telling you so that you will know how to hold your God. You will know the people you will call. I have close to 1,600 people in my contact, my phone, because of the places I've visited in life. But some of them, everybody can be in your crowd. Not all of them will be in your corner. A lot of people will be in your crowd. They follow you. But when it comes to being in your corner, but that day, it was only this guy I remembered. I said, join me in prayer, Pastor. He said, yes. I was even looking for your number because then I was, the last time I spoke to him, I was in Austria going to school. All those years I left Austria to spend, I didn't speak to him. He said, my wife saw you yesterday in a casket, but we've prayed for you. He said, do you have Holy Communion at home? I said, yes. He said, take Holy Communion. God go with you. Sir, we got to the hospital. I was well. All the doctors, with their, like my beard, they were just speaking their Spanish. I said, guys, you are just wasting your time. But to cut the long story short, after that appointment, no surgery till today. So, church, no. Not everybody that is in your crowd that are in your corner. Amen. The number five one is those that will make you second guess. You know, there are some people, they know how to make you second guess. They'll give you plan A, plan B, plan C. As long as you know what God has asked you to do. No, they are not bad people. Get church, get it right. These people I'm saying, so they are not bad people. They are very good people. They are loyal. But because of their assignment, those set of people that make you second guess, by the mountainside, wait for me. Amen. Quickly, so that we go live here. Then Abraham started moving. He took Isaac. He took the firewood, the knife, the everything. They got to a point. Bible says, all the story, Isaac did not make one sound. He was just following them. But at that point, have you observed when your sacrifice starts talking to you? Church, God has put something in your mind to give church 10 pounds. And you owe your 100, your tenant, your landlord 100 pounds. Or you go to your bank account. Like, yeah, I want to give offering 10 pounds. Go there, you are minus. That's your sacrifice, your seed speaking to you. That seed, the blessing, the sacrifice that God asked Abraham to go and give, started talking. Father, ha! I can see the fire. I can see the kerosene. The knife is there. Even the rope is here. Daddy, where is the ram? Abraham again said, my son, God will provide the ram by himself. Listen. Abraham was not pathetic. He was prophetic. Remember when he told those lads to wait for him at the bottom of the mountain? He said, me. He said, wait here. Me and my son, we are going and we will come back. He didn't say, I will come back alone. Abraham was speaking faith into action. Abraham was prophetic. He said, wait for me. Me and this boy, we are coming back. When he got to the point where the seed start talking, when he got to that point where that sacrifice start talking, Abraham became prophetic again. He said, God himself will provide. Sir, man, there was no ram anywhere. Abraham was not pathetic. Abraham was not telling those guys at the ranch, you know when you are pathetic now, you guys just keep praying for me. If I don't come back, tell my wife I love her. Tell, you know, that is being pathetic. But being prophetic, he spoke the word to the seed. To that seed. He said, God himself will provide. That ram. I don't know what you're asking God. God will provide. In the mighty name of Jesus. My time is catching up with me. God will provide. And Isaac went with the father. They got there. And if you look at the same story from chapter 12, Isaac was not a toddler. He was a teenager. Sir, ma, I was very rasta when I was growing up. My father don't beat me. My father loved me so much. Till I got to this, my father never hit me once. But my mother, God rest up, so that woman will beat nonsense out of me. Notice they'll tell you, take cane. They'll say, go and bring your cane. The cane they want to use to flog you, they will ask you, go and bring it. They will flog you. But you know, when you're a teenager, it's different. They will still ask you, go and bring that cane. Isaac, where did the father? No ram, nothing. My mother said, bring the cane. You know, as a teenager, you can rebel. You hold the cane. Some children do it, but you just want to sign your early death certificate. Because our parents will tell you, I brought you to this world, and I will send you. But as a child, they raised. We just let them do it. You shout, ah, daddy, 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 baby, baby. They'll just, okay, this guy still hear the cane. But he just want to run away from so that he gets it off. That was Isaac. When they got to that point, Isaac knew, I am the ram. And he just obeyed. Bible said they tied him. The father tied him and laid him up there. And again, Abraham did not second guess. When Isaac was there, he said, quickly, just put him there. Pick the knife up. He was not saying, God, where are you? Nine, God is nine, eight and a half. He was not second guess. He was not counting. He just wanted to get into action and get it over. Then immediately, when God saw the intensity Abraham was going, he shouted, hey! Don't. Abraham, the Bible says Abraham looked at his back. He said the ram with his arm, he was inside the bush, tied there. Do you know if a ram is stuck inside something, they make noise. They want to struggle. Do you know? When a goat is stuck inside the bush, they want to fight out of the bush. But this time, the blessing was silent. Because God was testing Abraham. When he said, Abraham, look at your back, he saw the ram quiet. Some of us, our blessing is already there. Just under our nose. Just under our nose. The healing is there. But are you ready to give that seed that God put in your heart? Growing up, I don't believe in pastor telling me to come and sow a seed. No. I believe God put something inside me to give. A lot of people have come to this church, lately even, to give some kind of testimony. You'll be wondering, I saw this woman, they give testimony. I saw this man, they give testimony. Again. I was talking to a choir master one day. Said, this uniform, somebody sold it for the church. I said, but in the meeting, we're trying to get budget. He said, somebody just volunteered. And you now say, that person, the person will now say, God will not bless him. There are some giving you will see. I remember when I started this church, was it some years after I started this church? Pastor Femi told me, said, the AC downstairs, the heater is one family, only one person that just donated it. Then you don't believe God will bless that family. It is a level. That's why I said there is level in life. You have to learn how to sow at the level that you are. It will open door for more blessings. The level Abraham was, he had the blessing, Isaac. And God said, bring that holy one. Bring that holy one. That's blessing. At old age, there's no way Sarah will carry belly again. No way can guess. She can't. No. But say, give me that. And Abraham gave. And he said, look at your blessing. The ram. Abraham did the sacrifice. Before I will go, he said, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. In healing, I will heal you. Whatever it is, he will do it for you. That's what God said. Because Abraham followed the process. Trust the process. Trust the process. Let's start on our feet as we pray. I don't know, as God has ministered this message to you, just speak to God. Just talk to God. Where you've lacked before, where you failed the test, where you've not trusted God, just say, Father, Lord, have mercy. Say, King of Glory, have mercy. Say, Lord, I'm ready to listen. My heart is open to receive. Father, Lord, I'm ready to go. When you say, I will do, Lord, I will not get distracted. I will not second guess you, O Lord. Father, Lord, as many that have heard this, in blessing, you will bless them. In multiplying, you will multiply them. In healing, you will heal them. Father, Lord, whatever it is they struggle for, Lord, you will do it for them. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you were ministered to through this message. If you have any comment on this presentation or would like to contact us, our address is 38 to 40 Parsons Meet, West Croydon, CR03SL. To speak to a member of our team, you can call us on 0208-688-466. Our website address is www.croydontabernacle.org.uk. Thank you and God bless.